Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I look over and there is a naked toddler on a giant toy truck just driving around the living room. And he has the biggest smile on his face like he knows he's so funny just being naked on his big truck. And it was hilarious. It was sort of something from like a YMCA, like a gay nightclub or something.
Because he had his hard hat on.
The only thing he was wearing was his hard hat. And he's on this big old truck. Oh, it was so funny.
Oh, he's such a good kid.
He loves trucks, that's for sure.
He loves trucks and he loves being naked.
Mm-hmm.
Especially inside. Oh my goodness.
I really wish that I could be naked inside. That I could just drive around in my car naked.
You know, now that he has that huge excavator, I kind of want one my size.
Yeah.
Like when I see the bobcats driving around, like building houses around the neighborhood, mm-hmm. I'm kind of like, hey, can I get some of that?
Where's my bobcat?
Where's my bobcat?
Here I am driving a car like a bitch.
You know, I feel like all of these like truck books and, you know, the little excavator and Goodnight construction mm-hmm. site and all these, we have way too many like construction books. But that's all he wants to read.
It's true.
Road builders.
We haven't really diversified the types of books. It's really just different types of construction books.
But I feel like now I am a construction expert.
Oh, yeah.
I know how roads are built. I know the difference between
a front loader,
an excavator.
Flatbed truck.
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, you look at these and Wes is like, Mom, that's an excavator, not a front loader. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, right.
Mom, don't be such an idiot.
You're so right, honey. I got that one wrong. That one's on me.
Mm-hmm. And you know Mighty Mighty Flatbed, he fucks.
Mighty Flatbed.
He big boy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I did not know that crane trucks could turn into, you know, the trucks with the big wrecking balls on
mm-hmm.
them.
Me neither.
Is
I thought that,
that
was a separate type of truck.
I think maybe that's some kind of like artistic license
there. I don't know why I make comedy YouTube videos. I should just make trucks for toddler YouTube videos because the views on these things,
oh,
I mean, it's like 100 million views. And I see why, because if he's watching trucks on YouTube, it's just like a rabbit hole of one after. He's figured out how to click on thumbnails now.
I know.
If we're hanging out watching trucks, they have these cool videos of like big trucks digging dirt. But now he'll be like, I'll click on this. You walk away for 1 minute and you walk back and he's like, there's a panda eating an ice cream cone.
You're like, wait a minute. What happened to
this?
Trucks? I know. Oh my goodness.
Did not approve this panda cartoon.
Wait. So I haven't been keeping up. Is he into the real truck videos? Like of the garbage trucks, you know, like I don't know who is behind the camera that follows garbage trucks around the city.
What, you know, great job.
Yeah.
Great job.
Yeah. But I feel like I have seen him.
I moved to LA to be a filmmaker. Now I
make garbage truck videos for kids.
Garbage trucks for children. But I have a house in Malibu, so it's all cool.
You know, it's a lucrative business.
Yeah, it is. No, he likes those okay, but I think he gravitates more towards the animations
cartoons, yeah.
of trucks because
yeah.
they're more colorful mm-hmm. and they're often more clear as to what's happening.
Right, for sure. You can actually tell it's like, this is clearly a dump truck and this mm-hmm. is clearly an excavator.
Yeah, you see a big claw truck in a junkyard moving like cars around. It's kind of, there's a lot of
yeah
a lot of things happening.
There's questions happening in a toddler's head, like why
are
they moving those cars?
Why are they moving cars.
Daddy?
These cars are junk.
Why are they moving cars? Are they going to move our car?
they're probably thinking that.
Yeah. He's a smart kid. He asks a lot of questions. I think we're getting into that period where he's like, why this? Why this?
Yeah.
Why this? Mm-hmm. But why?
Driving me nuts.
Oh, why? I love it. I think it's so funny. I think it's so funny because he'll ask something that I don't know the answer to. And I'm like, well,
yeah. He'll ask, where does this come from? just, I hope he doesn't ask, where does his brother come from?
Are you going to tell him honestly?
Probably not. No.
Really? You don't think so?
Well I think
son,
I might
when
just
a
say
man and a woman love each
belly.
Other. Well, first he came from daddy's wee-wee.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went into mommy's wee-wee.
Toddler would be like, came from wee-wee, huh? Huh? Like when I go pee-pee? Make a baby wee-wee? Huh?
Oh, that's a can of worms. I can't wait for that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to say he came from mommy's belly?
I guess, yeah.
I mean, because he knows that. He knows
he does
that
know that, yeah.
He already knows that.
Yeah.
I
well,
guess
comment
we can go
below
with that.
What you would do in this situation. And if there's any strange things that your kid is into. And also, would you like to ride on your own construction truck? Let us know in the comments or email us at babystepsadvice@gmail.com. You're listening to Baby Steps, the weekly comedy parenting podcast. I'm Ned.
And I'm Ariel.
And we're here to, today we're answering your questions. You've been emailing us at babystepsadvice@gmail.com. And we've got some great questions. We're going to get into it. We're going to dish the hot goss. We're going to give you the real.
Yeah.
We're not going to, you know, tiptoe around these answers.
Yeah. Think of us as your... Your
mom and
older
dad.
Best friends?
No.
Your older parent friends?
Right. Yeah, we're your parent friends.
And we're going to give you the real answer.
Yeah.
We're not going to give you the answer that your mom's going to give you. You know, none of that BS about babies come from mama's belly.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh. No, we give that to our toddler.
Or whatever, like, 30-year-old outdated device.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what that would be, but... I'm sure your mom has given you some curveballs in terms of strange advice.
I bet she has.
Oh, well.
I'm trying to...
just have to burp them upside down, honey.
I remember some that your mom gave me.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, it was useful.
Uh-huh.
There was one she was like, if you need to keep him awake, get a plastic bag and crumple it near his ear.
Mm.
And I was like, okay... I'll just keep a plastic bag with me at all times. I mean, useful.
That is useful. Yeah.
But, you know, there are other ways.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. So our first question is, hi, Ned and Ariel. Should we be telling friends and family our baby name in advance? I really want to shout it out from the rooftops, but I don't want any judgment. Mm. Trendy baby names versus classic baby names. What are your thoughts? Let's get a fake name for this person.
Sasha.
Okay.
I have strong feelings about this Sasha.
Mm, as do I. Let's hope they are the same.
I believe they are the same because we have talked about this. Ned and I feel that you should never tell people your names beforehand. Never, never, never. Because why?
Because they'll judge it and they'll try and change it, mm-hmm. and then you'll feel strange. But if the baby's already born... You can't change it because then you're just judging a baby and that's rude.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So if you're like really tied to one name and then say you tell your mom.
Like John Dillar. From the
we
Clan
all
of the Cave Bear
know,
series.
We all know that I have you know, a soft spot for John Dillar. That'll be our next kid. John Dillar. We call him John.
John.
Everybody's like Jonathan. He's like, no.
John
Dillar.
It's a Neanderthal era name.
Mm-hmm. my mom is the queen of being like, oh, that name?
Mm-hmm.
She is so funny. Mm-hmm. And I adore her to death, but it is that when we were pregnant with Wes, I remember running names by her and she was like, I Really? You like that one?
You were so bad with our name of second child. You were this close to letting it spill.
Oh, you couldn't keep your mouth shut.
Couldn't keep a secret for shit.
Well, okay.
You talk all this big game about how you should never tell anyone, and then you were on the cusp of telling your mom.
I was excited.
I know. But that's exactly the opposite of what we're saying. So, okay, let me spill Ariel's beans for a second.
All right, go ahead and spill my beans.
So, Ariel, after weeks of her mom badgering her for the name, of course, she cracks, she caves, can't withstand the mom pressure. It's just too much. She says, I'll give you a hint.
It's written in the house somewhere.
Yes, the name is written in the house somewhere.
Mom thought that I had embroidered it on a blanket or something.
It was like a challenge. It was all the whole next week. That's all we heard. They're like turning over pillows and like opening cabinets.
Looking for the name.
Please don't look there. we had a box of flaky salt, you know, finishing salt for your chocolate
Mom
chip cookies.
It's
called Malden brand salt. She's like, it's Malden, isn't it? We're like, no.
It's not Malden.
But also, if it was, we wouldn't tell you.
And then I told her that, like, you could see it from anywhere in the house. And so she thought it was Rufus or Skylar because of the roof and the sky.
Oh, they were so funny.
It was so funny. Rufus and Skylar.
Rufus spelled R-O-O-F.
Rufus. Yeah, exactly.
The trick was we had written on our little, you know, baby monitor camera system where it connects to an app. Mm-hmm. We had written Finn's room.
Mm-hmm.
So she had
I was testing it out.
And
you know, just
theoretically,
kind of
she could have logged in on her phone and looked at it.
And seen it.
But that, oh my God, that was just so, I was sweating bullets. It was so risky. If she had found out and then had something to say about it, I would have been so righteously upset at you. You were playing with fire.
I was playing with fire. I was, but...
So why'd you do it? How did it feel?
It feels great. You know I like to live on the edge.
That's true.
You know, so...
And you really don't like surprises.
I don't
You
like.
Try and get all of my surprises known.
I do not like surprises.
I like
to know all of my Christmas gifts in advance.
I surprised Ariel with a new, like a new wedding ring.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a 10-year anniversary present. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And we had talked about it and she was kind of expecting it. And I'm cold as ice when it comes to surprises because I love surprises. So she was like, did you get me that ring? And I was like, oh no, I think I forgot. And it was in my pocket, girl. I was cold as ice, but I was too cold.
You were too cold because I was so disappointed.
We were driving on the way to the restaurant.
We were going out to dinner and I was so disappointed. I was disappointed to the point of crying.
You were about to cry. I was like, oh no, what have I done?
Because I thought, I asked you to get me this and you didn't get it? You didn't get it for me?
And now it's our anniversary dinner and I don't know.
Oh my God.
Does he even
I was so sullen during the first half of that dinner.
You wanted to go home. You were so, well, I gave it to you. Are you kidding? First half, I gave it to you immediately when we sat down at the table.
You're like, here, look.
I was like, oh, I made a whoopsie. I'm so sorry.
That was
it's here. It's been here all along.
Oh my goodness. You're so right. Yes. I had forgotten about that. I was so disappointed when you said no. Oh my gosh, you were too cold. Oh man.
But I like surprises.
But how did we come up with Wes's name? And how did we come up with Finn's name for that matter? Do you remember?
We had a baby name book. And
it was called The Baby Name Wizard, which I love.
It was cool.
I recommend it to all of my friends because they break down the baby names into categories that are like, you know, these are British names. These are like, these are names that are like surfer kid names.
Right.
You know, and it breaks them all down. And then...
like very specific categories.
Very specific categories. And then if you like one name, but maybe like your best friend has that name for their kid, it'll give you like 10 more names that are like feel similar.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's so accurate.
The etymology and like where certain names come from and how they were originated.
Yeah.
I would pull it out. It's way better than just a stock list of like 1,000 names, because you can just get so overwhelmed with that. But here, you're looking at an index of like 40 or 50 categories and be like, I guess like California surfer names could be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Living California. I think that was the category for Wes.
Yeah. And then, well, we were looking up names that we liked. Like, we really liked Theo. But we have a friend whose dog is named Theo. And so you felt really strongly that we couldn't use that. And so I remember going into looking up Theo and then, you know, finding other ones. Oh, and then there was a category that was one syllable names.
Right.
Which we wanted like one syllable names.
We liked the one syllable name.
Because for some reason
we have a two syllable last name.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really liked the ones that they're like British names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wesley.
Reginald.
No, Reginald. No, like Edward.
George.
George. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love those names. I think those are sweet names. That
Edward.
Edward. Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I need a fake name for this one.
Samantha.
Samantha. I have a question as someone currently trying. What are you trying? Okay. We get it. Trying
Durr.
To. Durr.
TTC.
It's only 2 months and I'm starting to feel a little defeated. Oh, only 2 months.
Two months is nothing.
I shouldn't, as it can take up to a year. Could you maybe tell us how long it took you guys each time? What did you do to keep your hopes up? Oh,
that's a good question.
Really hard.
This can be really hard. With Wes,
it's so strange. You spend so much of your 20s trying not to get pregnant.
I know.
In your teenage years,
it's so true. And then when you actually are trying to get pregnant, it's such a major shift.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And for us, with Wes, we had no trouble at all. It happened surprisingly quickly.
Right. We were like, yeah, okay, how long is this gonna...
Oh, and
maybe
we're pregnant.
3 to 6 months or 6 months? Like,
yeah.
And then, oh, yeah, it was like the first or the second.
Because I was on the pill.
Uh-huh.
And then I had heard, or I was under the impression that it was going to take a while for that to get out of my system and for me to start ovulating again. And so we were just kind of like, let's just see what happens. And then it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
But with Finn, it was a little bit more difficult. At that point, I had gotten an IUD. I had it taken out. And it took us a little while. I got it out in November. And we found out that we were pregnant in February. And then... that turned out to be a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got pregnant again right after that. So it took
about...
And that
was kind of surprising.
That was surprising, yeah.
After the miscarriage, maybe would take an extra month to kind of reset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it did not.
It did not.
right back.
Yeah, I don't know if this is an old wives' tale or if this is a real thing, but they say that you're actually very fertile after a miscarriage.
Really?
It's like a silver lining. Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Well, that certainly was the case with us.
Yeah. But I think we
can talk to the feeling of like when you find out that in a certain month that you were trying that you didn't get pregnant, especially as that goes on more and more. It can really be defeating.
It's heartbreaking.
It really hurts.
It's this feeling of like something that could have been, and then having to wait a whole nother month in order to.
Right. That's the thing is you.
In order to try again.
Having sex, you know.
Regularly.
But
yeah.
You don't find out except for once a month.
Yeah.
So you have all this hope and then you find out and then you're not going to find out again for a whole nother month.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Yeah, I mean, and so, you know, 2 months, that's basically two tries.
Yeah.
You know, and two tries in the grand scheme of things is not very many.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people out there, it can take up to a year. It can take up to 5 years. You know, it really depends
right. On
your body. But they do say that, you know, if you have been trying for up to a year, that you should talk to a fertility specialist
right.
or something
okay.
like that.
So because the year mark is the kind of like, be mm-hmm. patient up to the year mark and
yeah.
then talk to a consultant doctor.
Then talk to somebody, see if there's a, you know, a cog in the works or whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, it's hard, but yeah, we'd encourage you to stay calm and just enjoy the process.
Absolutely. And we did have an episode with Rachel about her fertility journey. You know, I think that Rachel was that was a really interesting episode. Mm-hmm. That was very different from our experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we'll have a few more people on that have different experiences yeah. as well.
One technique for managing your emotions on the test day is something that our producer Rachel came up with, and that's the idea of emotional hedging. So what you're going to do is you're going to hedge your bets with, oh, if you get a negative test, you're going to be so disappointed. But if you plan ahead of time to go get something fun and fancy for yourself that you
wouldn't have
exactly.
been able to do if you were pregnant.
Mm-hmm. So order yourself a nice sushi dinner, or get a really fancy bottle of wine.
Yep.
Or, you know, a massage, you know, all the things that are harder to do or you can't do mm-hmm. once you find out you're pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so do those things, you know, almost like treat yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When you do get a negative pregnancy test,
yeah.
so that you're not as disappointed.
Right, right.
Because it can beat you down month after month.
And remember, there's plenty of parts about pregnancy that, you know, you suddenly like can't do certain things. So like you get another month of, if you drinking wine.
Fair enough.
That's not necessarily a silver lining for everyone, but mm-hmm. You know, try and look on the bright side.
Mm-hmm. Samantha and everybody out there who is trying to conceive, we hear you, we see you, and it's not easy.
Yeah, but it's not, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with your partner. It just, mm-hmm. it takes a while sometimes.
It takes a while.
It happens.
Yep.
Next name is Mariel.
Mariel! Oh, I'll read this one here. My husband and I have been trying to get pregnant for about 7 months, and finally it seems like I might be pregnant. Even though it's something I want desperately, I'm experiencing a little panic now that it's actually happening. Did you panic? This is a great question for mm-hmm. you. Did you panic?
Did I panic? Yeah. I guess.
Were you like, oh, fuck, I'm going to be a father.
Yeah, there's a sense of shifting realities that, I mean, you're dealing with off and on until the whole time. And even after the baby's born, you're like, whoa, this is my new life. This is different. Or this is
uh-huh.
new and exciting. I think there's a little bit of panic for mm-hmm. sure that sets in.
When do you think it was the most scary for you, like just the weight of having a family hit you? Was it when I got pregnant? Was it when Wes was born? Was it when we brought him home? Like, what was the big shift for you where you're like, oh boy?
Definitely when he got admitted to the NICU, that was like a big shift in feeling not only the love for the child, but also this new sense of like parental dread for, you know, him being healthy. But I think your question was more like, when did you feel officially like you were a father?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a good answer for that. It just sort of happens over time.
So what was
definitely the second time though, when you showed me a test, mm-hmm. and we had just had the miscarriage, I was like, okay, I don't even know if it's true anymore.
I don't know what's real anymore.
Okay. And then, all right, you have a second test like a week later or something. Uh-huh. And then I was like, oh, shit. Oh, this is real.
Oh, this is real.
Okay. But that was funny because I didn't believe it at first after what we'd just been through.
Yeah.
I'm like, great. Okay, cool. Well, now apparently being pregnant with a test means nothing. So I guess I'll just wait and see. It was tough. I mean, that was tough.
What was your initial feeling when I showed you the test with Wes the first time?
Oh, I was...
I mean, we caught that on camera.
We did, yes. I was thrilled. I mean, I sort of knew it was coming because I could tell you, like, mentioned... Again, so bad with surprises. You mentioned that you had a surprise for me.
I can't keep
But you secrets. Wanted to wait until I came home from Alaska. And I was like... Bitch, there ain't nothing other than a pregnancy test that needs to wait.
You called her bitch.
You said that though. What?
We love Key and Peele.
I looked her dead in the eye. Yeah, I mean, I look you in your eye sockets, and I knew that that was the only thing it could have been.
What if it was something else? What
that
if I was like,
very funny.
I got another dog.
Oh my God, that would have been horrible. Surprised with getting another dog. I since that first phone call, I just felt this like giddy sense of warmth and love towards you and kind of excitement and anticipation, but not exactly specifically knowing what it was. And then the second time, since it was sort of like my expectation was elevated, and then it was the suspense was released to be what I knew it was, it was kind of a sense of like relief or just happiness that it was what I thought it was.
Fair enough.
I don't think I told anyone in Alaska. I was just like, sort of had this little secret to myself. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a special gift when I get back.
Those first few months of being pregnant too, you know, this is something that I don't think we've really talked about very much, but a lot of people don't tell friends and family for the first 12 or so weeks because of the chance of miscarriage. And those are some of the hardest weeks that you go through because you have this secret, or maybe it's just hard for me because I can't keep secrets. but you have this secret that you desperately want to tell people because you are either overjoyed or you're anxious or, you know, you're just feeling all these feelings and you want to share it with your friends and family, but you have a sense that you can't.
Right.
You know?
Right. And you're often put in situations, whether it's out at a bar for drinks or we were actually doing a lot of food filming of us cooking and eating things.
This was also around the time of Becky and Keith's wedding.
That's right, right.
That was so funny. Becky knew immediately when I was drinking gin and tonic mm-hmm. with, which was actually just tonic with lime. Mm-hmm. And she was like, girl, you don't drink gin and tonic. You're pregnant.
You're pregnant. You're not drinking white wine. You're pregnant.
You're pregnant.
Yeah. I mean, maybe as a society, we need to be more understanding of miscarriages, but it's also like, it's your private life. You don't want to, mm-hmm. we had this miscarriage happen and we were able to just go through it all very privately. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine if we had like done some social media post like the day of the positive pregnancy test and being all excited and then like also have to somehow put on social media that you had a miscarriage or something?
Yeah, that'd be really hard. And you know, there is something to say about sharing those experiences with people, because that is what makes you know, the stigma around miscarriage a little bit less so.
That's true. I mean, that's why we wanted to tell our story mm-hmm. on the podcast. So for listening.
I have been following along with, like Chrissy Teigen had a miscarriage mm-hmm. a while back, a late stage miscarriage. She was, her baby right. was about 20 weeks long. And I mean, it's just heartbreaking, but she is single-handedly, she and I would probably say the Duchess of Cambridge. You know, Harry's wife.
Okay.
Nothing?
I don't know Nothing? What you're talking about.
What's her name? Meghan Markle.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Her and Meghan Markle spoke out about their miscarriages. And I mean, those are two of the biggest stories that I have read in the last year or so.
That is good to see, because even though everyone grieves in different ways, you should never feel shame about it.
Absolutely.
Which that destigmatization can help.
And every way is the right way. Mm-hmm. Well, moving on.
All right, next question. This person, can I get a name?
Sarah.
Several of my family members are pregnant. I would just like to know, what shouldn't you say or ask a pregnant person or couple? Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. Okay, do you have any right off the top of your head?
I mean, the thing is, like, you're just inundated with advice. So just whatever you think your advice is, maybe, like,
tone it down.
Hold off until they ask for it.
Yeah. Yeah, wait until they ask for your advice.
Don't give unsolicited advice.
For me, I would say when I was pregnant, I felt very self-conscious about my body. Maybe that's just me, mm-hmm. but, you know, there's this in some ways you don't want people to notice that you're pregnant. You don't want people to comment on your pregnancy, mm-hmm. but in other ways you desperately do.
Right.
I remember, you know, I would be walking through Target or something like that. And like, I'm maybe 6 months along or something like that.
So
like
pretty
not
pregnant,
pretty pregnant, but not huge. And I just wanted people to notice. Hmm. I remember that feeling. I, you know, just smiles from grandmas and things like that. I don't know.
So not saying anything,
but noticing,
I guess, and smiling.
But that's not really the answer to the question. You don't comment on a woman's body.
Right.
That is the answer to the question. It is,
or on what she's eating.
Or on what she's eating. You know, how she is approaching her pregnancy. Mm-hmm. You know, a woman's body is her own. Is her own. Mm-hmm. And she has a constant reminder that she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, probably knows how to handle it. And so unless she asks you, don't talk about it.
What are maybe things that people should talk about? What are things that pregnant women might want to hear?
Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Congratulations is always a big one. Mm-hmm. You know,
presents.
Presents.
You can just give presents.
That's actually true. Unsolicited baby gifts are always a good thing. Uh-huh. You know, even small ones. Like, I am a big unsolicited gift giver. So really, I shouldn't be speaking to this because I'm the one who gives people unsolicited gifts. So as the recipient of an unsolicited gift, how would you feel?
Oh, great. I mean, it's like they noticed. Mm-hmm. They wanted to do something nice for me.
Uh-huh.
Even if it's not the perfect gift, it's uh-huh. still a nice thought or gesture. And
absolutely.
Usually it's close enough that you can actually use it.
Yeah.
And if they sent a gift receipt, then it's all good, baby.
I love sitting, baby.
I love sitting.
Yeah, and I would say making the pregnant person feel comfortable, asking if they need anything.
Mm-hmm. Offering to do like chores or tasks or, you know.
I mean, they can always say no.
Yeah.
Is the thing.
Bringing dinner.
Yeah, bring dinner. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Rachel did something very sweet, which was she gave us a lasagna.
After Finn was born.
Yeah. And like just left it on the porch. Like it wasn't even like, hey, here's the lasagna and we're going to chat for like an hour, which I would have liked. But also, we had our hands full and right, just having the food was great.
We were like, whoa, a lasagna. Awesome. Dinner.
Dinner.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
So did we answer that well? To say to a pregnant person and what not to say?
What not to say, yeah.
Yeah, don't give unsolicited advice, but do give unsolicited gifts.
Exactly.
And you know, offer help. And also, don't force it if they say no.
Yeah.
You know, because there are some pregnant women who are like, no, I got this. I want to do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell them to sit down. Don't tell them to do anything.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. That'd be
hard to hear. Was there anything that you like said to me that I was like, don't tell me what's on those?
Oh, probably. I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we got to move on to the next question, though.
Okay. Go on. Or I'll read the next one. Give me a name.
Bridget Jones.
Bridget Jones and her husband are planning to start TTC next year. Mm. This brings me to another point. There's a lot of lingo around like pregnancy, trying to get pregnant, having a kid. And we should do an episode on some of the lingo. I'm not actually up to speed on the lingo because I was never really involved in those like mommy forums or anything.
Yeah.
But Bridget Jones, my husband and I are planning to start TTC next year for our first baby. And I feel like a sponge trying to soak up all the information and advice that I can. What did both of you do to prepare physically and mentally when trying to get pregnant? What ended up being worthwhile and what didn't? Did you change anything when you started trying for baby number two?
Oh, physically, you know we're out there grinding every day.
I mean, we...
We had a very particular set of skills and we didn't rest until... I just am seeing all these like preparation montages.
Like a Rocky, like...
Yeah.
It's the eye of the tiger. I did read a book.
Yeah.
I read a book. It's been a while now.
I procrastinated for about 8 months and then the baby came early and I was completely overwhelmed. So
that's
don't
true.
Do what I did.
No. I read a book. It was called, here we go, Get Ready to Get Pregnant.
Mm. Yeah, we liked that book.
We did like that book.
I liked the summary that you gave me of it.
The book. yeah, exactly. You did not read it. But why would you need to? But the book talked a bit about like some of the things that you can do in your life to prepare for the physical aspects of pregnancy. It's been a while, so I don't remember all of them, but I remember one of them was start taking prenatals early.
Right.
So start taking prenatals even before you are, you know, trying.
Learn how to make better salads.
But one of the other ones that really stuck with me was working on decreasing the amount of stress in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. the hormones that go through your body when you're stressed can actually affect your baby.
Right.
At least that's what this talked about. And it was kind of, that was sort of a scary topic for me, because I was like, whoa, there are so many things that I can't control about pregnancy. You know, I can't control the stressful things in my life. If I could control the stressful things in my life, they wouldn't be stressful.
Right.
You know, and so kind of coming to this realization that pregnancy was going to be this roller coaster of, you know, dealing with stress, dealing with like the physical aspects. What is the hormone that goes through? Is it cortisol?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it talked a lot about studies that people had done about babies moms that have a lot of cortisol in their body during pregnancy compared to moms that don't, mm-hmm. And just how that affects the baby. And
there's
and,
all
and
these
the pregnancy.
Long-term studies that are showing like the things that happen during pregnancy have reverberations throughout the whole course of your life, or the things that happen for like 2-year-olds have reverberations throughout the entire life. And it's like, it's really overwhelming.
There is no reason to put that kind of pressure on parents. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is, yeah, I would actually say just relax.
Yeah.
And like, if you feel like you are ready to have a child, you know, take your prenatals, but don't stress yourself out about it, because mm-hmm. that's, you know, stressing yourself out about it is the thing that is not, it, that, that you can, no, how do I say this? Try not to stress yourself out about it, because not being stressed about it is the best thing that you can do.
Yeah.
There we go.
Like, if you give a shit, you're going to be a good parent.
Yeah, you're going to be like, fine.
If you're
going to be
listening
fine.
To this podcast because you're interested in some parenting takes.
You're going
to
be fine.
Some parenting hot takes at times. Like, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
There are things that you could do to, like, make things smoother, but, like, one of them is not overthinking it and not overanalyzing
it. Exactly,
things.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, it's take care of your body. If one of the things that you can do is if you are, there are a lot of studies that talk about moms that maybe are overweight. Pregnancy or labor can be a little bit harder for them. So, you know, one thing you can do is start an exercise routine, even if it's just walking 20 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that you can carry on throughout your pregnancy, because having an active pregnancy is generally considered to be something that's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Take your prenatals. Get that.
Improve your mood.
Yeah, to improve your mood, exactly. Yeah, make sure that you're getting folic acid. That's a big one.
And on the physical sense, like nesting. We love mm-hmm. nesting. Ariel's an interior
designer.
We love nesting. Get excited about the space that your baby's gonna be, even if it's just like the
a closet.
Part of your bedroom. You know, we have the crib next to our bed for the first couple months. So,
mm-hmm.
but like, what is that crib gonna look like? And
yeah.
what sort of like little stuffed animals or, you know, little outfits and what are we gonna
play
with?
Get excited. Get excited about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, you kind of do whatever you need to do to prepare your village.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, if you are going to be using family help, if you're mm-hmm. going to be using friend help, you know, you can start researching daycare
mm-hmm.
or
nanny shares.
Yeah, exactly.
We didn't realize that was a thing where kind of you can have a nanny and split it up with a couple of kids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Also, if this is your first kid, go to the movies.
Go to the movies. Like, go enjoy your life.
Have some dates with your spouse. It's not that you can't ever have fun again. That's certainly not true. That's actually one thing I thought.
That's
like,
a myth.
I thought it was just going to be like this cliff where I was just like never going to see my guy friend
again.
Is
that why we waited so long to have kids? Because you just thought that life ended at kids?
Yeah, I thought life ended. That's true.
We're going to need to talk about that a little more.
Yeah, we can. We can. I was also pretty invested in work and growing my career and everything.
Absolutely.
But yeah, even though it doesn't end, it is harder, and you have to navigate getting babysitters and all that. So, like, enjoy the sense that you can just drop everything and go to the mall or go to the movies or...
Yeah, or go on a bender, you know? Like, yeah. that's this really is a great description of who I am. But, like, you know, the fact that you could get so drunk that you could spend the entire next day doing nothing, that is a concept to me that is so foreign now.
Well, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't do that if you're pregnant, but...
Well, of course. But you can if you're not pregnant yet. You encouraged
your husband to do that, I would say. Wasn't the Try Guys holiday party?
When I was pregnant, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, this question was about before you're pregnant.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, TTC. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, hell yeah. You all need to go book yourself on a one-way ticket to Vegas. And, you know, figure out your flight back when you're hungover. No, always book round trip.
It's cheaper. Yeah, you know, you gotta book round trip. It's cheaper. You can always change it.
Book with points.
Yeah. Anywho.
Anyways. But yeah, if you're going to Bender, for sure. Or however you have fun outside of the house. Just go for it.
We are not encouraging heavy drinking on this podcast, but you know, sure. do what you do to celebrate the fact that you are not pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We'll just leave it at that.
That's right.
But take your folic acid, get healthy, and love on your spouse.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
All right.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Up next. I would love some advice on how you handle the transition of your parents becoming grandparents.
Mm.
Who's this person's name? Goober McGee.
Your names are... too much.
I love my parents and in-laws. Yes, thank you, Goober. But they love inputting their opinion on things we do in life, especially the moms.
Mm-hmm.
We are still a couple of years away from having kids, and they're already trying to step in on decisions like childcare. Oh, my mother-in-law told me she's going to quit her job to watch our kids while we're at work, and even labor and delivery. How did you approach having these conversations and setting boundaries? First of all, you may change your tune about the quitting her job to watch kids, because that's going to save you a lot of money and a lot of time. But I get it. I that would have been my worst nightmare. Before we had a kid. And
okay, let's rewind back to before we had Wes.
Yeah.
Imagine if my mom said to you, "Oh, I'm so excited to quit my job and come live with you and take care of your babies."
Yeah, I would be like, "Honey, we need to talk about this."
And
your
yet,
mom's going off the deep end.
Okay, fast forward. Where are we right now?
We are currently in Nevada at your parents' house. Living the dream, because we need childcare and it's a pandemic. And
this is literally like what you just said is
what we're doing.
Would have been our dream.
Yep.
Because yeah, that childcare is nothing to laugh about. Okay, but let's really get into this question. So
in fact, whenever she's like, "Hey, can I go call my friends for a social call?"
We're like, excuse me?
Like, what? We don't pay you to call your friends. We don't even pay you at all.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, it is so funny.
My parents are the best. They are taking such great care of us, of our kids.
I mean, that's the only way that you're listening to this podcast.
That's right.
I don't know. It's because of parents holding a baby, but oh man.
Okay, so So
how do you set boundaries?
But we definitely had a different relationship with mothers-in-laws.
Yes.
Before we had kids. Yes. And you do need to set boundaries early.
For example, I don't know if this was something that your mom wanted, but we set a boundary of we don't want parents, grandparents, in-laws in the hospital. You don't want right. anything to do with delivery mm-hmm. with the relatives.
That was our space. We, you know, you have to, especially if your parents want to be very involved, you know, you do need to make those decisions early. You need to set those boundaries early mm-hmm. so that they don't start to get excited about something that later you're going to be like, oh no, you're not involved in this, mm-hmm. you know? And so, yeah, definitely labor. We kind of said that we wanted that to just be us mm-hmm. and our doula. But when it came to the time after, we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do remember that you kind of wanted to have this like nuclear family bonding time. You wanted it to be just us for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because when we were planning on a full-term pregnancy, we weren't going to have any parents come for like 2 weeks.
Mm,
do you remember right. that?
I think I remember that now, yeah.
Because we kind of wanted, you know, we just kind of wanted to nest and hang out with the baby.
Yeah.
Change our tune real fast. Real yeah. fast.
Yeah, I remember those feelings now where it's like I was planning on taking time off work and mm-hmm. wanted to like, you know, have that bonding time.
Yeah.
And also before the baby, I didn't realize how helpful it was to have in-laws around. It was mostly, you know, a neutral to negative thing having the in-laws visit.
I remember that too. Yeah.
And same for you. I mean, it's hard to have people that aren't your family around.
Absolutely. When it's just when it's just the two of you and you're starting to think about having a family, mm-hmm. you know, you're in such a different mindset. It's just the two of you.
Yeah.
And it's
you can take a shower whenever you want.
Whenever you want. And it's it's such a personal time mm-hmm. for a couple or mm-hmm. for two people. Or for one person. I mean, you know, families come in all different shapes and sizes. Right. But you know, it's a different experience when it's two people deciding that they are ready to have a family and then expressing that to their extended family mm-hmm. than it is when you're, you know, in it with kids, because your life has already changed and
you also know what to expect. Second kid, we're like, can you come sooner?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Can you come before just so that we're like ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Oh man.
Yeah. But it is funny, like the moment after having a baby, everything changed with my in-laws. It was like, yeah. all of a sudden, I was like, oh my goodness, wait, you'll hold the baby and I can go take a shower or maybe a poo-poo by myself? Oh my God.
Oh my goodness, this is great.
So much better. This is so great.
Yeah, at that point, you just want a minute to yourself.
Yeah, it's huge. Whereas before, it was like, oh, so you're going to come and we have to entertain you all weekend and I can't do any of my own things. It's actually, it changes. Like in-laws visiting before you have a kid, you lose the ability to do things by yourself.
Yes.
In-laws coming after you have a kid, you gain the ability to have time to yourself.
That's so true. That is so, so true. But to answer this question, how do you set those boundaries? Do you remember the conversations that we had with our parents before we had kids? Like,
I think you just have to tell them and be nice, but clear and firm about it. Uh-huh. Otherwise, there's going to be confusion.
Yeah. Yeah. You do need to set those boundaries. It is important to have those conversations. You can't just be nice and let them.
Yeah.
Let them decide to do what they want
and
with
idea
your family.
Of being like explicit, I think actually is it can, you can be explicit proactively, like, hey, I need this thing from you, mm-hmm. and I don't know that you know that I need it, and so would you be able to help me out doing this thing? Like, I remember, yeah. like taking out the garbage or the recycling or something was like something where we were like, man, it seems like we're just drowning over here, and we have our in-laws here, and nobody's, that's such a, like, why would they do that and leave the thing overflowing? So then we were like very explicit, like, hey, would you be able to
take out the garbage when it's full?
And they were like, oh my goodness, yes, just let us know how to help.
Yeah. Yeah. Being explicit with what you need. Because it sounds like this person's family is very excited to help.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's great.
So
corral them in the right direction,
yeah,
to help you the most.
Tell them what they can do to help you, mm-hmm. because it's, I mean, gosh, what a dream to just have childcare like ready to go. You know, but if that's not what you want, then let them know what you do want and, mm-hmm. and how they can help you.
If this is your first kid, take it from us. You might need their help more than you think you do now.
Yes. Yeah.
So be open to it.
Your relationship with your in-laws will change drastically. But as the parents of, you know, of the child, you need to tell them what they can do,
yeah.
and what they can't do. Because, yeah. You know, it's your kid and you can let them parent your kid for you, but if you want to be the number one parent to your yeah. kid, then you be the parent.
Tell them, look at me, I'm the captain now. I am the mommy.
You change his diaper this way. I mean, I remember doing that with my mom, where I was like, we do his diaper this way, mm-hmm. we put this on his butt, you know. It's like, just your parents want to help you, so show them how they can.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening to Baby Steps. We'll see you next Sunday.
Yeah, we have run out of time, but not out of questions.
If you're listening and you want to support the show, go over to iTunes or Spotify. Check us out there if you're listening on YouTube, and rate us 5 stars. Leave us a review. It'll help other people discover the show. And you can get some merch at tryguys.com. We have baby onesies over there.
Oh, the baby onesies are so cute.
We used to. They may be sold out, but tryguys.com for all your merch needs. We just released necklaces, actually. That's what we just did. Check these out. Ooh, they're so pretty. This one says love. That one's for me and Ariel. And it can be yours. Email us more questions at babystepsadvice@gmail.com.
Yeah. We are here to answer your questions and love doing it too.
It is fun.
It brings up a lot of old memories.
Yes. But hang in there. You got this.
You got this.
See you next week.
Bye.